I'm ready for somebody to count us in. If there was only somebody that could do that.
I'm here, Mike.
Oh, okay.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Listening to Flowing with Famous, your all Fresno pop culture podcast, where we break down all of the happenings in our great city. I am your host, Joshua Teehee, and with me as always is Mike C. of the Dorktown Network.
Hello, Josh.
Podcast. How are you?
Hello, welcome to April and March.
Yes.
It was not as nice as I was hoping for. It was much more rain than I wanted.
It just kept coming.
Was like, it was like, there was like, I even wrote about it a little bit. There was one at Saturday afternoon where it was like, like I didn't have to put on any jackets to sit on the patio. I sat there with my short sleeves, short sleeves, displaying the white guns out there and enjoying myself. And then like an hour later it started getting too cold. That's enough. It gave me like an hour of like it could be this nice but it's not kind of flavor. So I'm still waiting for some consistent good weather here.
Well, here's the problem. Here's what I think's gonna happen. You're not gonna get it. What you're gonna get is an okay couple of days. The next consistent weather that you're gonna get is gonna be hot. That's what we're gonna see next. So that's my prediction.
Don't be all Fresno-y. Don't be all bitter Fresno.
I'm not. I mean, look, I don't mind it. The heat is, you know, cool. I'm down. But that's what I think's gonna happen.
Yeah.
I don't think we're gonna
have a short ass spring. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. I don't think we're gonna get a really nice, protracted springtime. I think it's gonna be this kind of thing for the next into May. And then it's going to get hot.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
Well, I mean, history says that you will be right, but I don't like it. Well, you had to deal with a rainy Fresno's Fest. How did that go? Were Fresno's okay? Did they get by in the rain out there?
So, yes. So Fresno's Fest happened. And it was a rain or shine kind of thing. And I think, you know, depending on the weather forecast you were looking at, even the day of, you know, even Saturday morning, it was sort of up in the air as to what was going to happen. And, it had been raining overnight, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think there was a little bit of like, well, maybe the worst is past. And then you get down there on Saturday afternoon, and in the afternoon time, it is pretty stinking beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cool weather, not cold, sun shining, clouds, but not dark clouds. And then, but if you were kind of paying attention, there on the horizon. You could kind of see it.
Look at the radar. Check the radar.
Yeah.
I'm good.
And so, and people were doing it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, right around, I don't know, maybe 4:35 o'clock-ish, it starts to rain a little bit. And it's not bad. It's not bad. And then maybe 5:36-ish, then it starts getting kind of into it. And so from about, dumping. I would say, 6-ish to 8-ish, it was just like, no, I mean, it was just consistent rain. It wasn't ever, I mean, there were probably a couple of moments when it was really pouring. But it wasn't ever, you know, at least not that I could kind of tell. It wasn't ever like downpour, torrential. It was more like consistent for that whole amount of time. But I will tell you this. It's raining. We're set up on the homegrown stage that's there by the entrance, Fulton and Tulare. There are people coming in. It's raining. Like full on. It's been raining. They're coming in with ponchos. They're coming in with umbrella, like coming in, like not, not like have been there and hanging out still. They are showing up for the very first time in the rain with their ponchos, with their umbrellas, and just braving it out, you know? So, you know, there there were issues that, came up. I think, you know, they had the three stages set up, and I think one of them eventually had to shut down because it was just in the rain. It was getting overwhelmed.
Too much.
And so there were some bands that, didn't get to play. But for the most part, I think everything kind of continued on. And there were a couple bands that, you know, were playing to not a large crowd of people, at least in front of them, because, you know, that you would be standing out in the rain. But I was at one point, I can't remember, I had gone to, I don't know, I was getting some food, something. And I was looking around and I saw like how many people were still there and out and enjoying themselves despite the rain. And it was like, oh man, this is kind of crazy. Cause you would expect, and it, I mean, it did definitely like shut down kind of as it started to rain compared to how it had been, you know? But it definitely didn't stop it completely. So.
Well, like we can,
and
we
then
can
it came get, back, you know, stuff. By the end of the night, it cleared up and everyone was still out there. And, on the homegrown stage, there was this, the band Near Avenue played, they were the last one that played over there and they had a crowd, you know, they had a crowd dancing in the streets. The street was all wet, but you know, it was good.
See, we can, we don't always have to be, we can do stuff in the rain. We can do stuff in the rain. We did it.
It does like sort of show, though, how ill-prepared
we are, or at least I am.
Like, I am not prepared for the rain. Like, I, you know, I don't own an umbrella.
We're not as an umbrella city as we should be, because I've always, I've said on this show before, like, we should be using umbrellas in the summer.
Well, we should. Yeah, that is true. That is very true. Yeah, people should have umbrellas all the time.
Occasionally,
see, but I have a, I wear a hat, you know, et cetera, so forth.
Yeah.
But I don't even think. Oh, I did have a hoodie, so I put my hood up. I had my hat on, and I was pretty okay. I do know there were some other people that sort of stayed as long as they could, but then at a certain point,
it's just like so once like you get
one of the guys from Unlikely, at a certain point, I saw him and he was just like complete. He's like, "I'm going home now." I was like, "Oh, okay, now. We'll see you later." He's like, "I'm trying."
Like once you get that, as somebody that works outside a lot of the time, like once you get wet, it's just, you can't get it back. Like you can't, you're done. Like you're just gonna be freaking miserable the rest of the day. You can't.
I feel like the shoes are big for me.
Yeah,
like a big thing. Like if my feet get wet at any point, or my like, you know, my pants or whatever, then it's just really bad. Or if it actually, even if it just soaks through, you know, because a lot of times the top layer of whatever it is fine, it's wet, and it's like you get it home and it, and it's like, wow, I'm surprised I was so wet. But as long as I don't feel that when I'm out, well, it's it'll be okay.
Yeah, it is all about the socks. Once the socks get soaked, then it's it's over.
Yeah.
But yeah, but screw this. Wet weather sucks, man.
Yeah. And then, it's enough. So if someone had said, you know, the week before Fresh Air Fest, beautiful, nice, wonderful.
Yeah.
Someone was like, oh, yeah, it'll probably be nice next week. But it was also rainy.
Yeah. And then this past weekend was also rainy. So
yeah,
it's Easter just weekend been rainy. Was rainy. So it's just, you didn't like, yeah, because I was thinking that. I was like, man, I bet they're wishing they waited a couple more weeks, but
yeah,
wouldn't have done anything.
Yeah, I don't think it. Yeah, it's so funny because it's like, well, what do? You know, it's like with an event like that that you've been planning for the entire year, you set it on that particular date for a reason. Mm-hmm. And you kind of just...
Yeah, you can't move it once you've...
You kind of just... Well, emotion. Yeah. I mean, you can't move it, the week of, definitely, especially because of the, you know, they paid all this money. They had to get all the staging and everything out and, you know, all of the vendors and everything. I mean, it's a huge undertaking. So there's no way that you can, you just kind of have to roll the dice and wish, and hope for the best. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good on Frezius for getting it
for
on.
For keeping, yeah. No, I think so too. And, that anybody, the people who are out there, like, nobody, it wasn't, I mean, people might have been, like, upset that it was raining, but no one's going to, that wasn't, the Frezius's fault. Like, they didn't bring the rain with, So I think anyone who was there, they probably were, disappointed but happy with how things turned out. It was still a good time while it lasted for the people who came out early.
Oh, Josh, get this. Yes. Yesterday saw my first Cybertruck in Fresno.
Okay. Oh man.
And it was brown. Wasn't that ugly silver, like damp looking silver? It was a brown. I was like, oh
really?
Yeah.
But it was the but it was the Tesla?
Yeah, the Tesla Cybertruck. It was brown.
So my dad, today, he's like, you won't believe what I saw. Like,
you won't believe it.
Tell me about it. It's like, it was this car. It looked like just had metal pieces everywhere. Yeah. It was crazy. And he goes, it's like, kind of describes it. And I was like, that must be the Cybertruck. There's one, and I know that there's been one like going around. So, but this was a different one that you
saw. Yeah, this one was painted different. So
interesting. Are we a test market? Is there just some super rich people here?
They are like, have you not driven down Van Ness Extension, Josh?
Well, I mean, I haven't in a while. I mean, I do know that, there are people, because there was that guy, oh man, he owned one of the businesses, he maybe still does, and he would get the new,
whatever the new
Lamborghini, Ferrari, whichever one, he would get the new one every year, or every other, whenever it came out, he would get the new one, and then there was a guy at one point who had like, I don't know, a warehouse worth of Dodge Vipers. He had this like huge. So I do know that yes, there are people with a whole bunch of money, but I didn't know they were really out on the market.
Yeah. I didn't know they were out there for like presidents to be driving around. That's why I was like, oh shit, we have Cybertrucks now.
Yeah, I had seen the picture before, and I just assumed like whatever, it's passing through or something. I don't know what I thought, but yeah, apparently there's someone around with this.
There's at least,
maybe that's sounds what like I should two, try to figure two. Out who it is.
Yeah, come on, investigate. Let's get a Fresno B action going. Well, this isn't directly B, but maybe I should have prefaced this in our pre-show our pre-show meeting.
Yeah,
but
instead you're just throwing.
I'm throwing you into the wolves on this one.
Okay.
The big controversial news that came out since our last episode was the upper echelon of people that work at Valley Children's have a gigantic get paid way more than any other children's hospital.
Is that really news? I mean, yes. Is that something? So here's
when they're a for-profit that begs for money every month, every year.
So yes,
it's news.
So yes. So here's the thing. It is a very interesting story, and I think it's probably something that needs to be looked at. When I first heard it, I was like, yeah, like. It's a hospital. It's a business that exists in the United States of America. Mm-hmm. Of course, the CEO makes a ridiculous amount of money. That's just like how it worked. What company does, like, what business doesn't operate under that, like, it wasn't, to me, it didn't, it was like, of course, like, what? And so then it's like, my question was, are they denying service to people? Are they getting sued by people because they aren't doing a good job? Are they not, like, ranked in the 10, you know, the best hospitals in the country every year? Like, I didn't really understand at first, like, what the problem was. And then thinking about it more, obviously there are definitely issues, you know, but it's the same issues as them spending a bunch of money on naming rights for whenever they did, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's the same thing, right?
Well,
it's like,
you can argue that the naming rights thing is drumming up more business, which it feels very icky when you're drumming up business for a children's hospital.
Well, what they would say is that's the same thing as the CEO, you know, because part of the thing that the CEO does is he makes sure that the business can keep going. And one of the things that he does is, you know, as a CEO, you're out there and you're meeting with people and you're making sure that everyone's happy with what's going on and blah, blah. So it's like, to me, it definitely looks bad, right?
You don't want
it looks
Fred
bad
Snow
when and it came on a very interesting time,
yeah,
because it was right after they were doing Kids Day,
yeah, Kids Day,
right? Yeah. And so they had a bunch of and Kids Day was back, you know, this year. It had been gone for the pandemic, and they finally like back full on, and you know, so people were out there. And I mean, yeah, it does. It seems real bad when for years they've, you know, been asking for money and they're like, every dollar helps, blah, blah, blah. And then you find out that this guy gets paid $5 million, you know, whatever the dollar amount is.
He could just clear that whole Kids Day with
like, my thing about that is like, that's not a problem with the hospital. That's a problem with the system. I mean, that's how it is across the board. We all work for companies where the CEO makes way more than we could ever dream of. Right. And part of that is just, and they would argue, the cost of doing business. Now, if, for instance, and I think there's a lot going on here. One of the things is that people are gun shy right now, right? Because of Bitwise, because of the Madera Hospital, because of other, right? So people are like, we need to be diligent about overseeing how people get money. Okay, cool. I get that. And that is a correct thing, right? Like, I mean, so I think that's part of it. I also think the people who, you know, brought it forth and held the press conference are two people who are running for, you know, city council people who are running for bigger office. And so they, you know, want to be seen as doing something sort of.
Yeah. As an aside to that, having those two working together was also like,
right,
as interesting story as anything of it is like, wait, these guys are, and so many people were like, wait, I'm agreeing with Bredefield right now. What's going on?
Right, right. And so, I mean, I don't know. Definitely worth. I mean, it is not a bad thing that this is all out in the open now, right? Yeah. Like, there's no, to me, there's no drawback. There's no like downfall to us having more information about how the hospitals run, because you know, ultimately it is it's not a public utility, but it's like is something that is a utility for the community. And we see, you know, we see this in the Madera Hospital, right? Like when the Madera Hospital closed, that had and is having a huge effect.
Yeah.
So if something is going on there, it's, you know, yes, it is good to know. Now, the difference, I think, is like, I'm not really, to me, it's like, is there any indication that something is going wrong other than they're paying him more money than maybe they should? Because it's like, is the hospital, you know, are they turning away patients? Are they, you know, are they getting complaints from patients and family?
There was a lot of that. I mean, it's always, you have to take Instagram complaints with a grain of salt, but there was a lot of people like saying they have to wait 4 hours in the emergency room for, kids got a broken arm and they're
sitting in
a waiting room for 4 hours.
The question about that is, okay, how does that judge against every other hospital in Fresno right now? You know, and look at the other, and you know, I believe the Fresno Bee had a story looking at like actually putting the context to it and going, okay, he's making this much money. Is it more than similar positions at similar hospitals? You know, and I think he does make more than, you know, at other hospitals. But again, in some respects, it's like, well, good for him. Right. Like, yeah. I just, you know, it's, I don't know. To me, it's like a little bit drummed up. Although, again, it's not a bad thing to be vigilant about it. Right. Mm-hmm. And it really is. It does look bad, you know, I'll be interested to see what happens next year with Kids Day.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, maybe they'll just hope people forget, but it'll be interesting
And that's the thing, like, I mean, just see these, you know, some high school sophomore trying to, you know, sell a Kids Day at paper, and someone's like, I'm not giving my money to you guys. I'm like, I'm just a kid from Buller trying to sell you a paper, sir. But,
And I mean, you know, I don't know. I would have to look at this again. But I think all of the money that is raised by Kids Day doesn't go into the
that's a thing that a lot of people said. Maybe they're wrong. I really have no idea, but that we don't know what they do with the Kids Day money. They're just
it seems like once upon a time I did know, and I'm gonna tell you what I think, what I seem to remember, but I'm not sure.
This is not
that there is a specific fund that this money goes into that pays for specific things. So I do not believe it's just, I don't think the money goes directly into like the general fund of the hospital. You know, I don't think the Kids Day money goes into paying the, you know, CEO, but I could be wrong, cause I can't remember 100%. So, and that definitely is, I mean, yeah, that's a question that has to be answered, and I bet it is answered actually. I'm sure that's answered in,
for them
in
to do
one
it,
of the Fresno like, Bee stories.
For them to continue it, they're definitely, like you're saying, this is good that it's out in the open. For the Kids Day thing, they're going to have to come out and have a whole precursor of like, this is what we do with the money. This is where it goes. This has nothing, no matter how much our CEO makes, it has... No, like we still need this money. That's not. It's a separate bucket. These are different buckets,
and it pays for these things, whatever it might be. You know, which is still. I mean, you know, it still begs the question of like, what do you need? You know, what do you need? What do you need?
Like, why don't you go to that guy's house and say, hey, can you cover us for 10 grand here?
And you know, I mean. A part of this, I think it could just be, you know, Kids Day has been going on for a long time. And when it started, it was a much different time and hospitals operated much differently than they do now. And so some of this could just be that like it's a catch up thing where it's like, Kids Day is we really shouldn't be doing it anymore because we don't need to do it anymore, you know, or maybe we do. I don't know, you know, but
Well, the thing, yeah, the thing that
that's crazy story.
The thing that pissed me off the most though was seeing that that guy has like a $7 million house in Carmel. So I'm like, right, dude. You're making all this money off of the valley, and you're living in Carmel most of the time.
But again, to me, it's like, why are we picking out just this one?
Well, because
I think you could do that with any of them, though.
But we're all like invested in Kids Day / Valley Children's Hospital.
Yeah, because people love Valley Children's. I get it, but to me, it's just it seems like why are we choosing to look at whatever other business is
the most overpaid job in America by millions and millions of times. A CEO of a company making millions of dollars, and you're just like, and nobody's like, what the hell does that person do all day? Like, I'm working my ass off in the rain for 8 hours, and somebody is making a gazillion times more money in his office and has a whole staff around him, and I'm by myself in the elements, you know. Just like, but that's like, to your point, that's America, and that's just everywhere. So it's not,
and
just
so like I don't
children.
Know yes you should we should be mad, like, you know, we should be mad about it, you know, but the question,
and that's
is, and,
that's
you know,
that's some of the ire, like, though, is one, like it's that pent up aggression that we've had towards corporate people making millions of dollars, and then we just saw some guy just right in the silver platter in front of us, like, look at this. This is exactly the asshole that we all have been talking about.
Right. Yeah. I mean, but, you know, again, the thing that I try to keep in mind is, like, you know, as we're balancing all of this, like, you know, the question is, are they servicing the valley the way that it needs to be serviced, you know? So because it's one thing if, like, they're turning patients away and they're, you know, there's, you know, people are dying at the hospital, you know, whatever, and he's getting $5 million, okay, that's one thing. But if they're running that thing at the highest level, you know, and, you know, winning awards and doing all the things that a hospital is supposed to do, and the guy's getting $5 million, then, like, especially the capitalists, you know, the people who love capitalism and think that, like, how is that a bad, like, you know, that's the market doing what the market does, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
It's not a good look, though. I think we can all agree that it's not a good look.
When that guy that works at the same job in the L.A. Children's Hospital is like, wait, what? The Fresno guy makes that much more than me?
Right. He's like, I need to move to Fresno. Like, yeah. See, we should be using that.
Yeah.
Now, if the Chamber of Commerce and the Visitors Bureau was smart, they'd be putting that up there. Come to Fresno.
We have the highest paid children's CEOs, hospital CEOs.
Cheaper cost of living, and you can make a lot.
You can buy a house here and in
Carmel. It's probably the only job that's the case, but, you know.
All right. Well, we need a break. How about a band of the episode?
All right, let's do it. Let's do band of the episode. Let's just play the song. Let people see if they can figure out who it is and then why we're playing it. And then we'll come back and we'll tell them.
You woke up from some kind of dream. The kind where the people you see are your friends, but they're totally backwards and they're end over end. Caught in a landslide of furious sin. Yes, you're having that dream again. Yes, you're having that dream again. And you fell into this bed head first. Eyes wide and drunk in your rock and roll skirt, locked into an evening of longing or worse. Oh, this romantic curse, this forgotten landmine. We were doing so well for such a long time. Yes, we were doing so well for such a long, long time. they don't got a clue. They didn't grow up like me and you. They're all spoiled and well-fed, half wicked and half dead, caught up in the nothings that creep into their heads. And their world is only 3 miles wide, and their world is only 11 miles high. And while I'm drawing these lines in the sand, take a good look at the cards in our hand. 'Cause the city is folding and we're in command. If hearts are rent controlled and they're just real estate, man, let's come up with some kind of plan. Let's come up with some kind of plan.
All right, there it is.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to pretend that you don't know, and yeah, like you had to guess. Who do you think that is?
I don't know.
Who does it sound like?
One of the singer sounds familiar, almost like he's been on this show.
He might have been on this show, for a while.
Might be a founder of this podcast, maybe.
Maybe once upon a time, if you go back far enough, you can indeed hear his voice. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was Rademacher.
Oh, okay.
To give it away. That was Rademacher, and playing Rademacher, because they have recently reissued a bunch of their old albums, and have it. So it's all out on the digital services now. So if you want to like get it on Spotify or whatever, it's out there for you. And then the other thing, and this is cool, they're playing Porch Fest.
Yeah,
Rademacher is playing Porch Fest. Now I don't know exactly what lineup, who exactly is playing with him. I haven't seen that quite yet, so
they haven't announced it as of our recording here on April 1st, April Fool's Day. They haven't announced it yet. You're right, the lineups.
So Porch Fest is happening on the 27th of April, so that last Saturday. April 12th is when they're doing they'll have the map out and they'll have all of the lineups. But a bunch of the lineups have already been leaked. And so Rademacher, I think that was announced like a couple weeks ago. They did a promo thing with Johnny Q from Love the Captive.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's actually hosting Love the Captive. Johnny through Love the Captive, or however they're doing it, is hosting a Porch. And so he was talking about who's playing there, and he was like, oh yeah, Rademacher. So I think it's Rademacher and Awanichi, if you know that band.
Yeah.
Used to be El Ole Olaf.
We watched him last year.
What's that?
We watched him together last year.
Oh, yeah. Great. Awanichi and I'm flaking on it. Anyway, they'll be playing. And then there's the new band, Ron Zarigian and Matt Oram from who was, did a bunch of stuff in Gardenside, have put together a band. I think they're called No And. And I don't know, something like that. I'd have to look it up again. But they have a new band and some music out. And so they are also going to be performing at that porch, I believe.
Nice.
So a bunch of the porches have leaked. I mean, I think, you know, Great Room Shows is going to have a porch that looks really awesome. Obviously, the Fred Martinez Club Fred Club porch. Fred. Yeah, it's going to be crazy. It's I'm really excited to see the lineup, like the final map or whatever. So they have 280 performers signed up this year. 280 performers.
That's wow.
I feel like this year that you're not going to be able to like hop around very much, because I feel like the porches are like a little more curated than maybe they had been in the past. Like that people are really going out of their way to put together like a really good lineup, I mean, you probably could if there's specific bands you want to see, but also I think they're doing a good like thing of like, we're going to put five bands that kind of make sense together. And so you don't even have to leave. You could just show up at one, you know. So it'll be interesting. I'm really – there's – yeah, I mean, it's just – it's going to be so many – yeah, so much. And then also another thing to mention is that they're having a pre-party. This is also on the 12th, and it's going to be at Goldstein's. With Sun Umbra and the Dying Sons are going to be playing that. So that's on the 12th. And yeah, I don't know. It's great,
it's
man.
It's a fun day.
The heck out of Porch Fest. I think it's, you know, I see it. I have played the last 2 years. I didn't play the first year. So I played the last 2 years. And have seen it grown kind of, you know, from the, on the promotion side of it, you know, kind of, talking with the organizers. But you, as someone who is like, there as a spectator, what do you think about it?
Oh, well, I love it. It's like made for me. It's like, just a crap ton of, local bands on an, knock on wood, nice day. Fresno,
well, that's a good point.
And, you know, it's a perfect area for that kind of walking around. And, you know, you do have to be prepared to walk, but
sunscreen is really important also.
Sure.
If you're going to be, because
you should get a bike.
Year, I think it was I think it might have been that first year, or maybe it was the year we played, but it was the year me and you walked around. And we walked like, I don't know, I ended up walking farther than I wanted.
Yeah, that one house, that one really big house that's kind of in the South Tower. Yeah,
That's the Club Fred porch, yeah.
Yeah,
Club
that's Fred that porch here. is kind of out there, so it's like, And then I kind of want to go to a porch on the block, the Hamilton Junior High block, I call it. I don't know what you want to officially call it.
Oh, uh-huh.
The block that's on Clinton, which has has several. I haven't not been to one over there yet, so I kind of want to do that, like at least like stop over there for a little bit or something, because I haven't seen what those are like, if they're the same level of participation as far as like people being there and stuff.
Yeah.
But that one stage too thick. The one that's really by the, it's like a couple of little apartment complexes across from each other.
It's like behind Strummer's.
Yeah. One gets really thick, where it's like people trying to get out in and out of their apartment, and it's just like flooded with people on the street, and it's like
that's a wild one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in the past, I want to say that maybe like you know, Numbskull Strummers kind of hosted one of those over there, and some other. So that's a really good, yeah, that's a really good spot. I think there's like four or five spots that are kind of consistent over the years, have had some really good lineups. There's a house on Olive 1335, or 1335, I think it's San Pablo, but has had just some really cool lineups. It's going to be great. It will be, like I said, it will be interesting to see if it's at all possible to do, you know, can you start at 10 o'clock and just kind of hop around and see how many bands in a full day?
It's like a Disneyland style That's day where you just like, you're just going to be walking all day and you're just going to tough.
You're going to be walking. Yeah. And you definitely will have to. I mean, so you could do it a couple different ways. I definitely think that you could just sort of show up, walk around and just see what you see, and good luck if, you know, don't pay attention really to who's playing where, just walk around and you know, be introduced to new stuff, which I think is would be a really cool way to do it. And you're going to get exposed to like so much stuff, 'cause there's so many different bands that are playing, across genres and, you know, blah, blah. So that is definitely one way. I think another way is to really pay attention to who's playing where, and try to catch, you know.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna, like, you know, I hope,
because
nobody's
Rademacher, that's a special thing that they're gonna be here and playing. That band Call Me James is, I think, kind of doing a reunion get together, you know, show. And then there's a bunch of bands that are just playing for the first time. So yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be.
Spend
I hope
some
nobody's
time on the
going against
Tower
Rademacher
Porch Fest website.
I feel for anyone going against Rademacher if they're in the same genre, because everyone's
right.
going to be at that.
I mean, that whole porch, you know, anybody. Yeah, yeah.
Well,
I
which think, do you know which porch that is? Like the actual location of it?
Oh no, it's the Love the Captive porch, but I can't remember the exact address. So. But that'll all be out, you know, once the 12th rolls around, they will have all the bands, all the performers listed, all of the porches listed. They do a map, sort of interactive map, so you can kind of look. Mm-hmm. So you'll be able to plan stuff out, you know, pretty well. So.
Yes. Big thing to look forward to.
Yeah, man. I think it has become, I mean, to me, it's because it's just the biggest, like if you are in the music scene, it is the thing for the year, you know, that you're going to want to play.
And it's cool for the bands too, that get to have their, like the family and friends that would normally never, like, either by because they're too young or too old to never go see them in a club, that this is a kind
of playing
thing
in the middle of the day. There's just so much that's great about it,
you know? You're not playing. You're not playing.
I'm playing. New Old Man is playing. I'm making all those announcements at some point soon, so yeah. We're playing the Big Red Church. We'll have a stage out there, I think it's
That's kind of out there a little bit.
It's on Van Ness and whatever, so it's, you know, depending on where you're at, it's, you know, a ways, but
that's good, you know, to have it spread out like that. That's good.
For sure. Yeah. I think, you know, obviously the Tower District proper is going to have, where you're going to be able to find the most stuff. But I think I kind of like the fact that it goes, you know, the full Tower District. So all the way up to Shields, all the way down to Belmont, all the way from, you know, Blackstone or whatever, Glen, I think, whatever, all the way out to Fruit. And they kind of, there's places throughout. So if you have a port, you know, and it's great because it's just like, so this year people have done some things where if someone has a porch, they'll get someone they know who does like promotions to curate it. But then there's a lot of people who just like open their porch up and say, hey, we have like, a porch. If someone wants to come play, you know, whatever. So it's kind of like it's kind of you just, you know, if you know someone who has a porch and there it is. So it's great in that, like, there's no gatekeeping necessarily. Right. Yeah. It's like everyone just goes and plays. And and even though there is like a list that they're going to have officially through Tower Port, no one's going to care if you just set up and do some stuff on your porch that day. Like,
yeah,
it doesn't matter. Oh, right? Yeah. You won't be on the t-shirt.
About that is
you
like,
won't be like whatever, but
yeah,
you could still do it. No one's going like, to care.
If I lived in that area, I could just start playing my guitar in the front yard and be like, look, I'm at Porch Fest.
Yeah. I mean, 100%, you know,
I'm a Porch Fest entertainer.
I feel it keeps getting larger and it should be completely unwieldy for how big it is. But I think the way that it's sort of set up, you know, it's like everybody's sort of responsible for themselves. And then the organizers are, you know, they just loosely sort of keep everything together, but really, like, if you have the house, you're in charge of making sure that happens. And if it doesn't, well, that's on you. You know, that's on the bands.
You can deal with the bands on that. But it is nice, like, being a free event. Like, nobody's gonna be like, "Hey, I paid $20 for this shit."
100%. And the fact that they can make it a free, like, the fact that they can have that many bands playing, you know, 280 performers or however many they have, and it be a completely free thing. And if you are at all interested in what's happening in Fresno, in the Fresno music scene, Porch Fest is the thing to do, right? Like, just go and look at the map and the thing online. Because the other thing is, all the bands, I believe, will be listed out, and they'll have a little bit of like a little bio, saying what kind of music it is. So if you're into hip hop, boom, you go find some. Mm-hmm. If you're into prog rock, boom, go, you know, if you're into, you know, acoustic folk duos, if you're into like whatever it is, you're going to be able to find it. So metal bands, the whole thing.
We're gonna. Yeah. There better be like a lot of metals, a lot of metal porches, Josh. Or
There totally were that you would be going through, and there would just be like, you know, this like coming from, you know, whatever porch. It was great.
Some dude's house.
Yeah, and no one gets. And that's the other thing.
Yeah,
you know. It's I think it starts at, you know, early 10 or something, and then it goes until usually I think most of the porches will be done by 8, you know, at the latest. Mm-hmm. Like, so by the time the sun goes down, everything will be done in the neighborhood. So you don't have this like massive, you know, noisy thing.
Yeah.
It's all shut down, and then they move into the tower and they go. I think there's probably. I think Strummers maybe has an after party, you know, different places have whatever they're doing. So it's a whole
last year. Goldstein's had Strange Vine sort of like an after party.
Yeah. It's just the greatest thing. I mean, I don't know. I love it.
It's a cool thing to prepare for this one. Before we leave local music, although I'm really hesitant to bring this up because of the particular, they mentioned the C word, in this
the
song,
I'm like, where are you going with this?
Beyonce said the C word.
Beyonce said the C word. Yeah, Clovis.
Yeah. Oh, Clovis.
Yeah. Beyonce name dropped Clovis on her new album.
Because she likes the sprawling neighborhoods and gated communities.
The story actually about the why of it, I think, is better than the fact that it actually happened, which is cool. I mean, I think the lyric is something like, you know, the Cowboys and Clovis, something. I'd have to look it up. Let's see. I probably can get it.
That's all right. We don't need to know.
No. It's an important,
oh, God.
Everywhere I go, I had my face from the Cowboys and Clovis and the Rodeo Circus. I came here for a reason, but I don't know the purpose. And so everyone was freaking out, you know, like, oh my God, did Beyonce just say Clovis? Like, is she talking about Clovis?
There's a Clovis, talking about some other Clovis.
There's a Clovis, Texas, you know, or whatever, whatever. But the reason she's talking about the Clone Wars character, Ryan Beatty, wrote the song and wrote several other songs for her. So you remember, I don't know if you remember, but
I do remember, yeah.
Yeah.
When so I saw your like, article, I was like, oh, the Justin Bieber guy.
Yeah, yeah. Early 20 teens. 20 teens. There was this kid, and I think I'm saying Ryan, it might be Ryan Beatty, he was being like billed as the next Justin Bieber because he did a bunch of YouTube stuff, and this was like when YouTube was a thing, you know.
Yeah. Was breaking stars.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, and so you could go on YouTube and you could upload videos and people would watch it, and it's not like it is now in that way, but anyway, and so yeah, he was like huge for a while, and he did a bunch of big, I think he had a show at the Tower Theater, like a bunch of big stuff. I meant to look in the archives, and but anyway, at a certain point, he just kind of he left. He went to L.A. to kind of pursue the thing. And so, you know, at that point, I like kind of just lost track just because like he's not living here, you know, whatever. Mm. I you know, it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, if I had thought about it, I would have checked up and been like, what's he up to? Because he's been in the last probably since like 2018, 2019, he's had like three albums out, like on like major record, you know, major releases. He wrote a bunch of, he was collaborating with that rap collective, Brockhampton. Do you remember? They're like a rap collective, indie kind of rap thing that people love. He wrote a bunch of songs for them. He did wrote a song for Tyler, the Creator. He's just been doing all this stuff, and he's been out on tour. He has his own album that came out did pretty well, and you know, so he's like out there, and now he's done this thing for Beyonce.
Look at that! He's right,
and also
Clovis kids writing songs for Beyonce.
At some point, you know, he came out as gay, you know, it was, you know, this whole thing. And so I think maybe some of this could be from that, you know, being from Clovis and being a gay kid and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Beyonce, Clovis, Ryan Beatty. Really awesome. And then Clovis Rodeo, because of course, invited Beyonce and Ryan to the rodeo. So because the rodeo is happening this month,
you're gonna get like Beyonce a nice bench seat at the cow roping.
If Beyonce nice, was like, right up near front, the rodeo, Beyonce, you know they're giving her. They'll build something for. They would build her some sort of, you know, like they'll make it worth the while if they knew Beyonce was going to be coming.
It doesn't smell like this all the time. It's just during the rodeo, okay?
It's just yeah. God, could you imagine? I mean, it would just. I mean, it can't happen, obviously. But if it did. Now Ryan, I could see maybe coming through town. Especially, I think his whole family moved. I think the family moved down, you know, they, cause he was still young at that point. You know, not even, cause I think he's just in his 20s now.
Yeah.
And so he's still relatively young, but, which is crazy to think that he's, you know, doing the level that he's at right now, from being so young. But, have you heard the song?
No, not that one. No.
Oh, okay. Have you heard any of the, have just you heard that, Jolene? You know, she does.
Oh, I haven't heard that yet. I just that one song that,
Whatever the Yeah.
I've heard it on, I've heard 10 second clips of it on Instagram.
For, 10 second clips like a bazillion times.
100, yeah, bazillion times.
Yeah, it's good.
All right.
I think it's good.
Your voice went up quite a bit there when you said it's good, Josh.
No, but. So the, I really like
it's good. It's
that
good, good, good.
The, yeah, I like it. I think it's really good. I enough that I might, I thought about going and buying the album.
Well,
which is something that like I you know,
Record Store Day is coming this month too.
Record Store Day is coming this month.
People are Ragin's already saying people are going to be out all night, sitting all night at Ragin Records.
I believe that will be the case. Yeah. Do you partake?
I do, but I don't sit out all night. I go.
You'll just get up.
I go like after it's been open for an hour or two, like,
and get nothing.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. That's what happened last year. It was just like, I was like 2 hours after it opened, it's all gone. I'm like, yeah. Oh, and because Tower District Records did a thing where you basically like saved everything. Like through Instagram, you could like save that
in advance or whatever. Yeah. They'll say this is what we have, and you can.
Yeah, so it's kind of, I didn't like that. It's like, I was like, why am I showing up? But why am I getting in line when everybody's saved it already?
It's right.
Like,
anyway, yeah. It's so funny that whole, like thinking about what Record Store Day was when it started, which was essentially like. It was really just like about saving record stores because, you know, there were no one was buying records, you know, like really. And so the idea was like once a year you know, like the independent, you know, cause no major record labels really at that time were doing records. So it was just, you know, but there were some of the small, you know, and then obviously, you know, the used record, like whatever they would just have, it would just be this day. And it was like a special thing. And it was just kind of like to celebrate the record store. It was kind of like, what's the movie, the stupid, High Fidelity.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, yeah. So it was like that kind of a thing. It was like celebrating those people.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't, I don't think it was meant to be like a, everybody show up in lines around the block and people show up to buy the new Taylor Swift album or whatever, you know, it wasn't like that wasn't what it was about. It was like about the snobs, you know, it was like about like, you know, and offering, you know, the record store exclusives were like these really weird kind of things where it was like, you know, only people who really were into it would be into it, you know?
Right.
And now it's this whole other thing where it's just this huge party and, you know, whatever. And I mean, in some ways that's great because it means that record stores are doing well and, you know, it's cool. Record stores are great. Like, you know, I'm glad that we have record stores. I would rather we live in a world, where we have an abundance of record stores, than not, right? Like then have one record store, you know, for the whole, or, you know, have the only place you can buy records is at some antique mall somewhere or whatever, you know? Yeah. So I think it's great. It's awesome. But it's also just kind of funny to see how far it's come, you know, to the point now where it's like
camping,
you know,
out all night,
camping out. So
you're not going to camp out? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not going to. I'm going to, what I will probably do is like 2 weeks after, I'll go in and whatever exclusives they have left over, I'll see if I can find some stuff.
Nobody's, so. There's not going to be good ones.
Well, and I mean, because you'll go, I was at some record store recently, not here, but, and they had Record Store Day exclusives from like last year, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, they just sort of exist now, you know, especially, the other thing is like collecting is such a stupid thing now, that, and you know, people like buy for this, not even cause they care about it, just cause they know it's going to go up or they'll buy it, you know, like whatever. And so, there are specific ones that people, and so there's stuff that just doesn't ever get bought because no one wants it because it's not, you know,
they tried. They're like, oh, let's try to jump in on this record store day thing. And then
right,
like,
right. Yeah. Still yeah. Care. Anyway. But yeah, do you know when that is? Is it 420?
It might be. Is that a Saturday?
It is a Saturday.
I bet that's when it is.
Which is crazy. 420 Saturday. 420.
Yeah.
Get high.
Wow, Josh. All right. That's great. Oh, yeah. Speaking of, we're Dr. Green Thumbs is opening up.
Green Thumbs.
Be Real. On the 6th. A known chain, dispensary chain, adding to our other known dispensary chain in Cookies.
That's correct.
And all the while, poor artist tree up there at the end of Palm is like, hey, we've been here this whole time.
Why
is everyone talking about those?
They were doing real. I mean, I think, you know, they got to operate for a year with zero competition. So
yeah.
I think, you know, so now I think, so there's a bunch of new ones happening. So
what do you think of the Dr. Green Thumb, the paint job, the building? What do you think, how it looks? Eyesore, not eyesore for tower. Oh,
I
thinking about
don't
this.
Mind. I think it's, I'm torn because I do think it kind of looks cool. Mm-hmm. It's bright. Like, I like the simplicity, of like the color, like it's, you know, whatever, three colors or whatever. And it's done really well and it's bright and it looks, you know, it looks good. It stands out. It's, you know, so I like the look of it. I also can see how people would be like, what is this?
Yeah.
You know? So I can see both. I'm worried, and actually I shouldn't be worried because cannabis shops, dispensaries have so much security, but how is that not going to be just destroyed? You know, they have these gigantic, like, clean walls that are just one color. Like, how is that not going to be like graffiti central?
Salivating over that.
But I do know these places have like massive security.
Yeah.
That's because
security,
that's part of,
and also like I'm assuming that the kind of place that's going to immediately get it painted, like whatever graffiti you're going to do, it's not going to have much shelf life.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. But I don't even think people will be able to get that close to do that. Or if they do, they're going to be like whatever, because there's so much. I'm sure that there are cameras there that you don't even know are there. You know, like I'm sure they have that whole, I bet they have that whole block under surveillance now, you know, from that. So,
yeah.
Anyway, so yeah. So
just for the PD probably has.
And that's the old Bank of America building.
Yeah.
And we've known that's been coming for a long time.
Next to Livingstone's.
Next to Livingstone. So I, you know, what I am interested to see, you know, from the beginning, one of the things that they were saying is like once they come in and they open, that they think that it's really going to sort of change that little, that block in that neighborhood, gentrification style. You know, because
come on,
you're going to get the you know, the business has put a lot of money into that building, as you can tell, to make it.
Oh, gentrifying, know. Like business wise, you mean?
Yes, yes. Okay. Gentrifying the businesses.
Yeah, I can see that. So, yeah.
So that one's opening. And then I think the following week, there's another place opening called Sweet Flower. This one is very interesting. It is in the shopping center at Shields and Moroa that A1 Liquor is in, and El Premio Mayor.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
In that shopping center.
Okay.
Really nice place. Like, really,
because that shopping center is not nice.
Right. Like, I mean, from the outside. Hey,
strip mall, not shopping center.
Yeah, it's a strip mall. It's with, and when it's I first saw that that's malls. Where, yeah, when I saw that that's where it was going to be, I was confused. You know, I was like, how is that going to, how is it going to work? But, It's nice. Like I think it's really going to be.
I haven't seen that. So yeah.
So that one's opening.
You
got
to hand it to the dispensaries, which I guess you'd be the person to ask about this.
Yeah.
Maybe probably part of the deal of like if you're going to open the dispensary, you got to make it look nice. Like the one in Mendota looks nice. The one in Fireball looks nice. I mean, it's just so, like every dispensary looks good. As a building.
So some of it, I do think, you know, there are state regulations and then there are the city regulations or the county, you know, city county, like all the way down. And so depending on, you know, where you're at, there will be different things that you have to have. But I think that's just like it's more of like the market, you know, like they just think they know like the cannabis industry, that's the standard, is that it's going to be nice and it looks nice. And it makes sense because you're paying so much for it that, you know, you're not going to go into like just some random place and, you know, be paying all this money and in the taxes and everything. So, and I know that there were standards definitely in Fresno. So like in all the Fresno shops, there has to be a little foyer that you have to walk into before you get to the actual shop and back. So you can't see any product from the street. Oh, that's okay. Just like one of the things.
That.
So that's what you'll notice if you go to any of them. And then there's actually another dispensary opening. This one I'm really interested to see. It's at Belmont and Blackstone. It's in that place that used to be a Chinese restaurant. And if you saw the sign, I'm sure you would be like, oh, I know exactly that place.
Yeah.
it's been abandoned forever and, you know, and I just drove by it today and it looks really cool. So I'm looking forward to that.
Is that where Cookies is over there? Is that, am I right?
No, Cookies is at, Shaw and, Blackstone.
Oh, I mean,
yeah,
I was imagining it was the old near Abbey and Blackstone or something.
Area.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So this will be, these next three will be the first that are opening kind of in central Fresno.
Yeah.
And there haven't isn't been there any. Because
central Fresno
the rest of them are, you know, I think Embark is the furthest south. I mean, and then there's one way south on Jensen or whatever, but.
Oh, okay. Isn't there one going to open up in the old 7-Eleven at Shaw and
there
West?
Is at Shaw and Palm or West Palm and West?
West and Shaw.
West and Shaw. Yes. Yeah. Shaw and West. Thank
Come
you.
On, man.
Yeah.
Northeast Corner.
That is going to be an Embark as well. And looks like there's work is coming pretty quick on that. So that should be open pretty soon. That'll be good. There is where else? Oh, there's the Yosemite Falls Cafe on Ashland and on the other side of the 99.
Uh-huh.
If you've been out there.
Yeah, I used to go to that.
They closed down a while back, and that's going to be a dispensary.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
At some point.
Easy Highway 99 access for travelers.
Yep. Yeah, I'm trying to think. You know, there's a couple. What happened was the city like opened it up so that people could move. Like if you had a license, you could actually move your license. And there was a process that you had to go through. But so there were several places that did that. And move from whatever their original location was to a better location. It's looking up.
All right.
We're looking up.
Look at it. Look how far we
are. Almost, when these three get done, these next three, I think we'll be close to a dozen.
Yeah. How far we've come. Oh. I remember on the show, like talking about them, like how Fresno was behind the state and like not having anything. And we're like fighting just having anything in town. And it's just whatever. Like, put it again.
And now, you know, I think the next thing, and they're already kind of looking at this, is like making sure that they, they figure out the illegal market and take care of it. So that's part of the reason I think that they're coming down so hard on smoke shops is because a lot of the smoke shops, they think and have been selling marijuana, illegal marijuana. Mm-hmm. And so I think they're trying to shut all those down because they want to make sure that the legal and
tax-paying businesses get their fair, fair shake.
So, yeah.
All right. I think we're about covered other than just in April, it's baseball month. So we already got Fresno State softball and baseball going on. Fresno State looks very good. And then the Grizzlies will be coming soon.
Going to Sacramento.
Maybe, but Oakland is put a proposal to have them stay at the Coliseum for a few more years.
Oh, okay.
They have to look at that, but Sacramento's in the game, but
none of this matters at all for the Grizzlies in terms of getting back there.
No, not right now.
Okay.
Eventually it could. It could open up a spot for us to get back in the AAA game when and if the A's move to Las Vegas.
Oh,
but,
okay.
But I guess if the Sacramento thing were to happen, that frees up a AAA team. The Giants that could come back, I guess, could in theory come back. We could
because
that's what's in Sacramento right now is the Giants AAA.
The Giants,
Giants
decided they didn't want to be in that,
so
do they? Because
I think the part of the deal is the A's would play in their stadium.
AAA and regular team in the same.
They could, but not really in the same stadium. It would be too. You could not.
Right. But
you could do it in the same city. But yeah, if you didn't care about attendance, which the A's don't, because they are used to not having attendance. But
right.
Fresno could be a host. If Fresno didn't have our single A Rockies team, if we just hadn't found a team for a while, we would be we would be hosting the A's because it would be because it's just would be the most obvious thing because we'd have this triple A stadium just sitting around doing nothing, and the A's looking for some place to play. Just because.
But and it would be until they got their other place going.
Yeah, until Las Vegas Stadium's done, because that's what's happening. And so, like I said, they don't care about attendance, like whether Fresno would show up or not. They're just waiting to get into Las Vegas.
Right. They're just like, whatever. Yeah. Where can we play for the next few years?
The A's owner is a big, giant douchebag, dickhead, idiot. So,
how much you think he makes in a year?
More than the, he is a nepo baby of the Gap and Old Navy owner. Old Navy in the Gap.
Get out of here! Yeah. Okay.
And his he got it willed too. He didn't do anything for it. He just has them.
They just gave him the thing. They're just like, we died.
With the A's. As well, that was just basically handed over to him, so he's just done nothing for himself other than completely ruin the A's. Can you tell him?
What are you gonna do?
Josh?
An A's fan, I'm asking. What are you gonna do?
This is what I've been asking myself for a while now, all last year and this year I will be as well.
But Fresno State looking good.
Yeah, Fresno State looks good so far. And then, we'll have our Grizzlies back.
National champ good? Are they looking national champs good?
Fresno State? I mean, that you can't really say that about Fresno State, really. But
they won the national championship.
Well, yeah, they did. But that was like one of the biggest underdog stories of all time. So
that's right.
But I mean, all we're asking for is to make the friggin' tournament again, man.
Right. The Grizzlies will be back. I'm interested to see you know, what they have in terms of their, I guess they've announced some of the,
yeah, I haven't heard any, like, there's always some new thing for the stadium. I haven't heard anything, Josh. I would think you'd have done a story or something.
Yeah, I'm not, I mean, I do get the emails, but, I've had a bunch of other stuff, piling up. And so, yeah, I'll need to look at it. I know there is some stuff, but I just haven't.
We'll talk about it next month. But right now, it's time to
plug it up.
Josh, one thing I wanted to ask you, as you, yes. I work for the Fresno Bee.
Yes,
FresnoBee.com. Joshua T. Yeah. You got to talk to John Waters, didn't you?
I got to interview John Waters.
That's not fair.
He came to town to do a thing at the Tower Theater, and so it was amazing. It was like really, if you read the story, and I hope to capture this, like it's so you get 15 minutes, and you know I had questions, and I asked the questions, and he answered the questions, but like he's doing it in such a way that like. By the end of the whole thing, it's like I'm laughing and he's laughing and I'm like, oh man, my friend John Waters,
me here, like, and my friend John.
Yeah, I mean, it just felt like, he was just such a nice guy and so just like, you know, and looking, I read some other interviews, and so it's like he was like, you know, doing the pitch, you know, whatever. But it didn't feel that way, you know, it didn't feel like, oh, he's just saying the same old stuff that he tells everyone, you know. It was like, you know, and we got into some Fresno stuff. So
I was going to say, what does
Sam Peckinpah?
Oh, okay.
And Kevin Federline.
He knew some Fresno things.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You didn't have to clue him in.
What's that?
You didn't have to clue him into these things. He was like, oh, I know.
So I was asking him, so I've talked to some people, bands that are coming through, and when they mention Fresno, like when they come through Fresno, they a lot of like people from either the Midwest or like some of the East Coast, some of like places like Baltimore, for example, where John Waters is from, they're like, yeah, Fresno has the same sort of feeling. It's like that kind of a place. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I was asking him about that. And he's like, yeah, you know, the things that I know about Fresno, are, it's the home of Sam Peckinpah and Kevin Federline. And so then later we get into the whole thing.
Sam Peckinpah would be like, why are you mentioning my name with Kevin Federline?
Yeah. Anyway, so it was really cool. So here's the thing to tell people is if you are a subscriber or not a subscriber and you want to subscribe or you're thinking about it, if you could go to one of my stories and then click on it and then subscribe, that'd be great. It's definitely a kind of thing where, and this has been happening for a while, but it's very important that like if you see a type of story that you would like to see more of in the paper, click that story, read that story, share that story, because that's how that's, you know, metrics are a thing now that exists. And so if nobody's reading a story, it's going to be assumed that nobody cares about whatever it is that thing is. So if you see a story like that and you're like, man, I wish that we had more.
Yeah. Support it.
John Waters coverage.
Just like anything in Fresno, if you like it, talk about it and support it. And
that's right.
Get people to read it, go to it.
That's right. Then I didn't get out there, but it looked like there was a large crowd there at the Tower Theater to have John Waters. And that was a big get. That was a big get for the theater. So kudos to
Numbskull for him to come through on a Friday night and everything. Yeah.
Fresno Bee is my day job, and FresnoBee.com. So, you know, a lot of the stuff that we talk about on the show is taken directly from reporting that was done at the Bee. So
yeah,
if you like it, you should subscribe. It we're all about like the digital subscribers now. You know, that's all. Like what we would like to have happen, and I think it's actually the only way that like the paper will is going to survive is subscribers. You know, that we get enough digital subscribers or regular, but to pay for the thing. Like the days of like the advertising, they're done. Like the advertising market has changed so dramatically that it's just that's not really viable anymore. So
what the bands? So you're playing Porch Fest. I heard earlier on the Flowing with Famous, that you're playing Porch Fest.
Playing Porch Fest with New Old Man. That is the solo project that I'm doing. I am also, we'll talk about this in May. This is going to be a big one. Playing the Stone Shiver Jamboree. So that's the big one that we're going to be doing. And that's the full band. I put a band together for it. Some really good players. I'm very excited. So nice. I'll be playing with Victor Sotelo and Wade Krause from Sparkle Jet.
Mm-hmm.
So the guitar and drums. And then Amelia from Sci-Fi Caper and the Sunnydales will be playing bass.
Nice.
And doing some backing vocals. And I think Victor will probably sing too. And I'm singing and playing guitar. So it's going to be really awesome. I'm super excited about it. Like, I probably don't sound as excited as I really am about it.
You're playing with Sparkle Jet. You're in a band with Sparkle Jet. It's pretty freaking cool.
I know. And also nervous, a little bit nervous too, probably. But I think it's going to be really awesome. I'm super excited. You know, I have these songs out, and maybe people know about them or don't. Like, who knows? But I'm excited for people to see and hear how they've sort of come to life with these new players. So the Stone Shiver Jamboree, that's the big one. And then Porch Fest, and there might be some other stuff happening as well with that. So look out for it. Go social media, New Old Man, The New Old Man, I think, on Instagram. I'm on Bandcamp and all that stuff too. So that's happening. I also have a weekly radio show that I do on New Rock 104.1. It's the Homegrown Show. That's on Sunday nights, 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. All music from Fresno. So lots of good stuff on there, man. So many good bands. I keep discovering so many good bands. And, you know, we did that stage at Fresno Fest, and all the bands on there were amazing. We had Paris on Fire, Out of the Ring. What is the name of that other band? Paradise Blossom, Edward Hernandez, Near Avenue. Anyway, yeah, just a bunch of great bands. They're so good. So I do that on Sundays. I also have a newsletter that I put out on Substack, Band Geek, also on Sundays.
Band Geek
again, same thing.
E's.
All sorts of Fresno music news. So lots of cool stuff on that. And then every month, at least once a month, I'll do a breakdown concerts list.
Yeah,
you get old school.
Plan out your month and buy your tickets if you want, and get your month of music prepared with your that. Or your
I always feel bad though about that, because you know I spend a day or so and I just go through and I get as much as I can, and then every time I post it and then I see like four more events that I totally spaced on. I'm like, ugh, and it just happened today. I'm looking, I'm like, oh man, I forgot that event. Oh man. And so I apologize to anyone if I didn't get your event in. You can always send stuff to me too.
You
can
always get it in next week, you know.
I mean, it is true. It is true. As it gets closer, we can mention this. So that's the stuff that I do. So and I'm on Great Day. So if you're in
Fridays
the Fresno area and it's a Friday, KMPH has their Great Day. I do a quick little spot, things to do for the weekend, and it's always fun. It's like I get recognized all the time now. It's crazy.
That's a great day. I saw Kobe yesterday driving. What do you think of that?
Oh, really?
What do you think about that? I think you're a big deal. I saw Kobe driving in his car.
I'm telling you what. Kobe is quintessentially Fresno.
He's always I've seen him like all the time, and he's always by himself. I'm just like, why doesn't somebody drive around with Kobe? He's always taking care of business out there.
He works hard, man. I'll tell you what. All right. Your turn now.
Fresno.substack.com, because all us old bloggers are on Substack now.
Yep.
Reading the big talk of amongst Substackers is like, which I kind of feel is like, are we just a community of writers that just follow each other? Because like, yep. There's like a whole lot of like non Substackers reading Substack. It's like, it feels like we're in a bubble of just like a bunch of Substackers. We're like the Spider-Man meme of we're all pointing at each other.
Looking at
your Substack. Look at your Substack. That's my Substack.
That's what it feels like. But I love it because everything it's like the old blog days where it was just like whatever weird thing that you were into.
Yeah.
You just blog about it. And then it's like, oh, this is great. You know, there was the guy in town used to be, he was like a Catholic and a lawyer. He had some kind of like weird like thing where he would blog about, you know, the law and Catholicism or something. Like, you know, it's great. Anyway, so yes, I agree. So Substack.
Yeah.
Fresno.
And there's the Fresno.com that's still there that you can go root around in and look at old memories.
Good for the archives.
Good for the archives. And then the other podcasts I do. Oh, actually, the two other ones. There's a new Get Off My Podcast out there now. Uh-huh. We did a update.
That's the Harrison Ford podcast.
Yeah, I did an update on Harrison, and then we played a little tournament. Tournament.
March Madness tournament. Harrison Ford movies.
Yeah, that's what we did. Yeah,
and
you got to listen to the episode and see who won.
Come on,
no, man, we got to do it. Maybe I'll tell you next month. But if you just really just can't listen to that episode, Josh.
How long is it? How many minutes?
It's like maybe about hour 20 minutes or something like that.
Oh, so, I could do that.
You can listen on 2x speed and just get to it.
That's right. I just 2x.
Yeah, you can get to it.
Which is what people do with us, I believe.
Yeah, so. Some people. And then also The Perfect Pour.
Perfect.
Yeah. Every Friday, new episode of myself and Nick and Rad Stacy talking about beer culture and drinking beers.
And that still happened there? Yeah. Beer culture? That still exists, huh?
Yeah, yeah. It's just not fun and cool anymore. It's not new and fresh and fun and cool. Now it's just like...
Okay, but. Russian River recently just had their Pliny the Younger.
Yeah.
And... I saw the picture. The lines were insane.
Yeah,
so like,
Pliny the Younger still pulls.
It's still happening. They have their downtown Santa Rosa brewery, right? Mm-hmm. The old school, and then they built this new giant one.
Yep.
Up at the thing, they had lines at both places.
Yeah, yeah, and that new one's like in a town, one town over or something.
Yeah, Windsor, it's like
Windsor.
A town over.
It's not like it's like a different community.
And Windsor, it would be like Fresno Clovis.
Yeah, something like that.
It's like that. It, you know, it's pretty close like that. But it's gigantic,
right?
And there was line both places. So.
Yeah, so you know, certain things still can dominate.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I have a Substack, that related Substack called drinkingandthinking.substack.com. That's every Sunday. Have a kind of a beer culture / a relaxing at home kind of stuff to write about on that one. And I think that's good, man.
That's it. Okay.
The Fresnan on social media.
Okay.
Joshua Teehee on social media.
I'm everywhere. You can find me.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, you can track you can
find
me.
And we have some links in our show notes if you want to get to those things through that.
Well, this was a lot of fun. I hope we didn't miss anything. If we did,
let us know.
Someone will let me know.
Yeah.
I appreciate there are several people, and they know who they are, who, as they're listening to the show, will like message me as it's happening to like, oh my God, you know, like kind of almost live.
Oh yeah.
They're live meeting as they're you know, listening. Like,
if we had more time, we would do one of those where it's like a group listen, kind of like an album listening party, but for podcasts. I'm like, we're like, hey, we're all going to listen at 8 a.m.
And then talk about it.
Yeah. Or like live blog it basically.
Yeah.
We
need Yeah, there's some podcasts I know that do that, and yeah, I think it's
like we all used to do in the old blogging days of live blogging something.
Oh yeah, the good old days. Yeah. Well, until next time, I'm gonna count us out: 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.